God, open up and call his name, O Lord. By your Spirit, all his name comes to save. Before his faith, he's only and waiting. He's ever been waiting. He's ever desiring for you to turn to him.
Lord Jesus, our wandering hearts we give to you.
Amen.
Lord, let's just call on him.
Amen. 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 Good evening. It's good to be here.
Amen.
Been with the junior hires, and they're a little smaller in numbers. Praise the Lord to be with the high schoolers.
Amen.
Really enjoy your exercise.
Amen.
Of your spirit.
Amen.
Keep up the exercise in praying for me.
Amen.
To share this message. Praise the Lord for the two spirits.
Amen.
You know, this topic that we have this time in the summer school, the two spirits, which are the divine spirit and the human spirit, is really important. This is the key to experience everything in God's economy. I believe this was shared the first night. If you did not write down this sentence, I would encourage you to write down this sentence, because this really encouraged me. I'll repeat that again. The two spirits, the divine spirit and the human spirit, is the key to experience everything in God's economy.
Amen.
Amen. The two spirits, the divine spirit
Amen.
And the human spirit, is the key
Amen.
To experience everything in God's economy. And tonight we're coming to lesson number 6. So I need you to take out your outlines, if you haven't done so, and your lesson book. We may be reading part of the lesson book tonight, and your Bible. We'll be reading some verses. We first began with God's purpose and the two spirits. God has a purpose, right? And that purpose is shown in which verse in the Bible? Can anybody tell me? I don't think, actually, we have not recited that verse this time. Yeah, not there, but I don't know if here, if you ever recite that verse together yet. Maybe we have done so much that we forgot. Yeah. How about that's, if you know, which verse is that? Which verse tells us God's purpose?
Genesis 1:26.
Okay, so if you know it, and this is, I believe, your first memory verse. So if you have memorized it, how about I stand up and memorize this verse? Okay, start with the reference.
Genesis 1:26.
And God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of heaven, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth."
Amen. Thank you. So we're here because God has a purpose.
Amen.
God has a heart pleasure. He has a desire that he would express himself through man. So he created man in his own image. Now the word image reminds you of an expression, like a photograph, right? If you see someone's photograph, you know that what that person looks like. So in God's heart, he has this heart desire that he wants to be expressed.
Amen.
All the riches in him, he wants to be expressed through man. And he created man for that particular purpose. And we see that in order for him to accomplish his purpose, he can't just create man and ask man to look like him or to express him, right? He didn't do it that way. He didn't create a whole bunch of God dolls, right? You have Barbie dolls that look like you know, beautiful Barbie, I guess. But, you know, that's not the way that God wants man to express him. He did not create a whole bunch of God dolls that looks like him, that acts like him. No, he created a vessel. Amen. He created a three-part vessel, right? A man with the spirit, soul, and body. And the way for him to accomplish his purpose is for him to dispense himself into this vessel in the way of life. And that's how he wants to accomplish his purpose. So on God's side, he went through a process. And in the past lessons, we've seen many aspects concerning the spirit. Well, why are we talking about the spirit? You know, many religions, including Jews and Muslims, they only talk about God. God, the Almighty God who created the universe. And often they mock the Christians. You Christians have three gods. We don't have three gods, right? But we have the triune God.
Amen.
We have the Father, the Son, and the Spirit.
Amen.
We not only have the God who created the universe, he's the creator. As the Father, he's the one who plans everything. But because he has a purpose and he wants to accomplish that purpose, he has to become a man, right? And that's based on John chapter 1, verse 1 and 14, right? The Word became flesh.
Amen.
So God came to be a man in order to accomplish his purpose. But not only he accomplished his purposes in time, 2,000 years ago, that the Lord Jesus came to be a man to die on the cross for us, but he also wants to apply what he accomplished to us. Mm-hmm. So he has become the all-inclusive spirit.
Amen.
Right? The spirit is the reaching or the application of all that God has planned for us and all that the Son has accomplished. And to apply that to us, he needs to be the spirit.
Amen.
And in lesson two, we saw that he is the all-inclusive compound spirit, right? He is all that you need. Everything that you need is in him.
Amen.
And not only so, he is the compound spirit. So all that he has gone through, especially his death that terminated, that's able to deal with every negative things, is now compounded into the spirit,
Amen.
Right? And also his resurrection power. That power that can overcome all the depression, all the things that bring you down, is now in the spirit.
Yeah.
And that spirit is now installed into our spirit as the life-giving spirit and the indwelling spirit. So in the previous lessons, we have seen many aspects concerning this wonderful spirit. But with this lesson, or actually with starting from the lesson this morning, and we see in order for us to experience this spirit, we have to see that this spirit is not just outside of us.
Right.
This spirit is working within the believers. So let's come to lesson six. Let me read the title. The Spirit's Work in the Believers, Regeneration and Sanctification. And tomorrow morning, we're going to continue with the work of transformation, anointing, pledging, and sealing.
Amen.
So the Spirit is working.
Amen.
You know, I was touched with this word work. No, he is working. And he's not only working outside of us, he's working in the believers. So let me read Roman numeral 1. The Spirit's work is mainly within the believers. It is for the dispensing of God into man. Regeneration is the reality and initiation of the divine dispensing.
Amen.
Like you to circle this word within. This morning, Brother Israel shared with us that, you know, many Christians are confused concerning the Spirit.
Yeah.
And they're not that familiar. I would say some Christians are ignorant of the Spirit. The Spirit is mentioned repeatedly in the Scripture, especially in the New Testament, right? All the things that we've shared so far, we didn't invent them. He is the all-inclusive Spirit. There is both a there's both a picture in the Old Testament, and also He is the bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. There are many mentioning of the word Spirit in the New Testament, but I've met many Christians, they're just afraid to talk about the Spirit. And, you know, you share something about the Spirit, and right away they're thinking about something funny, right? You talk to them about the cross, they understand. You know, the Christian symbol, cross, they right away realize that, oh, that's where the Lord Jesus died, to set me free, to save me from my sins. But when you started to share something about the Spirit, they don't have that much idea about what this Spirit is. You know, to many Christians, Spirit is kind of like, you know, some paintings paint the Spirit as a dove. It's, you know, it's kind of flying around somewhere. You're not sure what the Spirit is doing. Well, praise the Lord for the Summer School of the Truth.
Amen.
I think I really feel that we are blessed to hear all these messages concerning the two spirits,
Amen.
To learn the secret, the key for us to experience what God has planned for us. You know, not to blame these Christians because they've never heard so much about the Spirit. So their experience are somewhat limited, you know. They realize that they need to confess their sins. They realize that they cannot save themselves. But after they have received the Lord Jesus, what else do they do? You know, a lot of Christians, this is a big question. What can I do now other than waiting to go to heaven when I die or when the Lord Jesus come back? What's going on from now until the time that I die? What else can I do? I need to preach the gospel. I met a lot of zealous, good Christians that went to preach the gospel, but they're not familiar or they're ignorant about the work of the Spirit. So we need to be equipped. And also some other Christians, when you talk to them about the Spirit, they kind of go to the other extreme on the economical side. You know, when you talk to them about the Spirit, they think about power, some kind of strong spiritual power, either to cast out demons or to heal the sick, and to perform miracles. Right, so to some of the other, or speaking in tongues, this is another things that kind of occupy them when you speak to them about the Spirit. But I was touched that the Spirit's work is mainly within the believers.
Amen.
The first thing, what the Spirit wants to do first is to come into us, and so all the things that the Spirit is doing today is mainly within you, is inside of you. You know, don't try to look for something outward, something special, or some kind of power to experience. Actually, the Lord as a Spirit is doing a lot inside of you. So don't look outward, look within the believers. And it is for the dispensing of God into man. Praise the Lord for the Spirit's working.
Amen.
You know, we should never forget about this point, that what God is doing today, or His economy, is to dispense Himself into man,
Amen.
Into me. I forgot to introduce myself. My name is Frank Hong. I'm from the church in New York City. I think there's still, most of you know me because I've been here for a while. You know, I have certain purposes. Growing up as a young person, I was born in Taiwan, in a Christian family, also actually in the churches. So I, like many of you, I grew up as a church kid. And I came to the United States when I was 15. And I came, I started high school, and I started college. And by junior year in high school, I knew what I wanted to do as far as profession is concerned. I knew I wanted to study computer science, right? So that was kind of the field that I had set to pursue. So, you know, fast forward, I've got a degree in computer science. I'm working now as a computer scientist. I got married, right? I have four kids, right? I bought a house. You can say I pretty much accomplished what I was my purpose. But don't forget that God has a purpose.
Right.
And God's purpose is to dispense himself into you. So you know, whatever you're doing, I was considering some of you are in the full-time trainings, right? Or going to the full-time trainings. If you're in the full-time training now, or you're planning to go to the full-time training, can you stand up? Oh, very good, very good. Yeah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord for these saints. We're in the full-time. I just want to say a little bit about the full-time training. Thank you. The full-time training is a program, right, a kind of a Bible service program that help us to be a normal Christian. Amen. And a normal Christian is one who live in God's purpose. And what is God's purpose? God's purpose is to dispense himself into you.
Amen.
So don't forget that you're going there not to just to be a better spiritual person, but you're going there to get God dispense
Amen.
Into you.
Amen.
More God to get dispense into you. And I encourage many of the young people to think about this as you're going through high school and college. To give the Lord the opportunity to give 2 years of your time to go to the full-time trainings where the Lord can dispense more of himself into you. But you don't have to wait. He is doing that right now as the Spirit in your spirit. How about the seniors? Can the seniors in high school stand up? Yeah. Okay. So I heard that you're all, or most of you are kind of stressed out with, you know, coming decision of applying for college, right? Thank you. We're praying for you and we're standing with you.
Amen.
But I want to remind you, you know, no matter what school you get into or you know, don't forget God's purpose is to dispense himself
Amen.
Into you.
Amen.
You know, if you realize this, then it makes that process a lot easier. I also was quite anxious when I applied to college, but I actually had limited choices because of number of factors. My parents weren't, you know, they're modest means, so they can't afford to send me to these schools with you know, a lot of high tuitions. But anyway, I was struggling to consider which college to apply to and which college I wanted to go to. But then, you know, that year, I believe the Lord really helped me to realize that wherever I go, it's not just for my own purpose.
Right.
It's really for his purpose.
Amen.
And he dispensed a little bit of more of himself into me that year in senior, as a senior in high school. And, you know, looking back, I have to say that's my 4 years in college and my 2 years in graduate school are one of the best years that I have. Not because I earned a degree and I got a job a few years afterwards, but because God, I was cooperating with the Spirit's work to allow him to dispense more of himself into me. Right? So the Spirit's work is within the believers. It is for the dispensing of God into man. And it starts with this work of regeneration. So regeneration is the reality and initiation of the divine dispensing. So regeneration is a start. I'd like us to all open to John chapter 3, verses 3 through 6. So in order to dispense, okay, let's read the verses first. Okay, John 3, 3 through 6. About the brothers, read verse 3, sisters 4, brothers again on 5, and that's all read verse 6.
Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God."
Amen. Sisters. Amen.
You cannot enter into the kingdom of God.
Amen. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Amen. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit.
Amen.
So this is the beginning or the initiation of the Spirit's work within the believers, is that the Spirit will come into the man's spirit to regenerate him. Now, here's the background of this verses is a story of a learned Jewish scholar named Nicodemus. Now, he had heard about the Lord Jesus, and he came to humbly ask the Lord Jesus, "We know that you're a teacher from God. What can we learn from you? Or what is your message from God to us?" Well, the Lord Jesus didn't discuss about any of the doctrines in the scriptures, but the Lord was very clear. Unless a man is born anew, right? Verse 3 says, unless one is born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God. This person, Nicodemus, obviously, he's open. He's seeking for the things of God. But the Lord Jesus told him very directly, unless you are born anew, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Now Nicodemus has a reaction. Then, do you mean that I have to go back to my mother's womb, enter my mother's womb a second time and be born again? Right? Lord says, no. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, Amen. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So we need to have a new life. We need, in order for us to know the things of God, the Spirit has to work to bring God's life into our spirit. Amen. So I kind of like to put this diagram. So the first work, you know, often we sing that diagram, is that God needs to come into our spirit.
Right.
So this is our small human spirit, right? And every human being has a small human spirit. But when you're regenerated, or when you're open to the Lord, to allow God to come into you, allow the Spirit to work himself into you, that is called regeneration. Let's read the sub-points under this this Roman numeral. According to the Bible, to be regenerated is to be born of the Spirit. Regeneration also means to be born again or born anew. The way to be regenerated is by hearing the gospel
and believing.
I'd like you to circle the word in A, born of the Spirit. So we need a new birth. And this birth is born of the Spirit. And in B, circle the word born anew. It's not only to born again from an earthly source, that which is born of the flesh is still flesh, right? But we need to be born anew,
Amen.
Born of a new source.
Amen.
No birth is really a big deal, right?
Yeah.
Without birth, there is no beginning. You know, humanly speaking, I have 4 children. One of them is here. Maybe, Joshua, you can help me stand up. This is my 3rd child. You know, this big guy, you know, wasn't that big 16 years ago, right? I still remember. Any of you ever seen your smaller or younger sibling born? Anyone here ever seen a birth? Okay. Isn't that amazing? You know, I was present when he came in, right? It was a little complication though. He had to be taken away because there was he was like tremoring, so they had to observe him. But anyway, it was a new life, right? A new life was born. And you realize that when a new life is born, there's new potentials.
That's right.
Even though it's something small, frail, but you realize that there's a new beginning.
Amen.
There's a new person.
Amen.
And that's what happened when we open up to receive the Lord.
Amen.
It's not just to accept a religion. I believe most of us here have received the Lord, but if you have not, if you're not sure, we're not trying to convince you to join a religion, to accept a set of teachings or philosophies. We're inviting you, and we're praying for you to receive a living person into you.
Amen.
Now, just as the Lord Jesus said, unless you are born anew, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And unless you're born of the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So if you have not opened your heart and prayed this simple prayer, Lord Jesus, I open my heart. I'd like to receive you as my Savior. Please come into me right now. If you have not done that, I encourage you to do it. Even right now, you know, you can just pray. Yeah, even right now, let's just pray. In case some of you have not had this opportunity, okay? Let's all bow our head. Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, you have become the Spirit.
Thank you, you have become the Spirit.
I open my heart to you.
I open my heart to you.
I receive you.
I receive you.
To be my life.
To be my life.
Come into me.
Come into me.
Save me,
save me
from my sins.
From my sins.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. It sounds very simple, but by this simple prayer, when you hear the gospel, and when you just believe in your heart and open your mouth to confess your sins, you receive a new life.
Right.
You receive a new person into you. This is a big deal.
Amen.
Young people, and I hope that you will remember this, that this is what every human being needs. And this is what the Spirit is working over every human being. So if you're trying to share the gospel with your friend and they're arguing with you, don't be discouraged because you don't know what to say. That's okay. Keep on praying for that person.
Yeah.
Because the Lord is working, and we're going to come to that a little bit later. The Lord is working in that person, and the Lord wants to get into that person.
Amen.
So don't be fooled by all his knowledge about different philosophy, or thinking that you might have a friend that thinks, I don't need God, I'm good enough, right? Keep praying for that person, right? Now, why do we need to be regenerated? You know, when you're sharing the gospel with someone may have a question. I'm just fine. I have no problem. I have no need. If there is a God, that's okay. But, you know, I have no use for him. Well, let's come to Roman numeral 2 to see why do we need to be regenerated. Let's read Roman numeral 2 together. We need to be regenerated because of two conditions. Brothers, A.
From the negative side, we need to be regenerated because our life has been corrupted and has become evil and cannot be improved from evil to good.
Sisters, B. Amen. For A, I'd like you to circle the word corrupted. Our human life was created by God, good. But because of sin, because Adam and Eve took in the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, something came in to corrupt that life that God has created. That's the reason on the negative side, we need another life. Like you also to circle, cannot be improved. Our human life cannot be improved. This point is harder because actually that's what almost everybody is doing,
right.
Trying to improve our human life, including many of us. Many Christians, we still think there's something good about us, right? We can try our best to please God, to be accepted by God. But we need to realize that our life is corrupted and our life cannot be improved. That's why we need another life. Let's read this verse, Romans 7:18. Romans 7:18. Go. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but to work out the good is not. This was the Apostle Paul's experience. He was an exceedingly good person. He's quite diligent. He's quite smart. He learned the law of the Old Testament. He was zealous for his father's tradition, and he even set out to do. And I think one verse says he exceeded all his contemporaries.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He was the best of the best. But he realized that there is something in him that when he tried to do good, especially when he tried to please God, there's something opposite. There's something evil operating in his flesh. And he realized there's nothing good that dwells in his flesh. Nothing good dwells. So on the negative side, we need another life because our life is corrupt and cannot be improved. From the positive side, however, we need to be regenerated because we do not have the life of God. Just to remind you of what God's purpose is, that God wants us to express him, not with our good human life. Now, even if Adam did not fall, still, after Adam was created, he was placed, remember, in the garden in front of two trees. Or actually, in front of God's desire is that he would eat the tree of life,
right,
which represents God himself. So on the positive side, we need to receive God's life so that we can express God. Right? So that's the reason we need to be regenerated. Okay, let's come to C. The proper understanding of regeneration shatters the natural concept. Okay, brothers A.
Through regeneration, we have received the life and nature of God.
Sisters B. Amen. Amen. See, all together. God's salvation is not a matter of ethics. Rather, according to his economy, God has regenerated us by the divine life that we may be his sons and live as sons of God. We may be his sons and live as sons of God. I'd like to read a portion of your lesson book. If you have your lesson book, please turn to page 59. This is under this, I don't know if it's the same page, but mine is under section C, living as sons of God. 58 in the new one. So under this section C, living as sons of God. Not many Christians realize that they are sons of God, and that God wants them to live the life of a son of God. After they're saved, most Christians try to improve themselves or to do something to please God. In their efforts to improve the natural man or to do something to please God, the vast majority of the Lord's people are missing the mark of God's economy. Okay, how about brothers? Next sentence, and then sister, alternate.
God's salvation is for his economy, and his economy is not a matter of ethics.
Amen. Sisters. Amen. Sisters.
God's goal is not simply that we improve our behavior and thereby do good instead of evil. It is not God's purpose merely to have a number of good people. God's desire is that we live as sons of God. God wants us not simply to be cleansed. He wants us to live as sons of God.
Amen. Amen. So God's desire is that we would not just merely improve ourselves, try to better ourselves or better our behavior, but we need to live as sons of God.
Amen.
The more we live by the divine life in our spirit, then the more we can spontaneously live or express as the sons of God. In that same page, under Roman numeral 4, the second paragraph, there's a prayer. Let us pray that together, starting from Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, I open myself to you. I thank you that I have been born of God, born of the all-inclusive Spirit. Lord, this Spirit is still transmitting something of you into my being. I thank you, Lord, for this marvelous transmission. Okay. So that's from point four. After God regenerated us by his Spirit to make us his sons, he has been continually supplying to us the Spirit.
Amen.
So now he got in. Most of you have God as the Spirit in your spirit. You have a wonderful source. Wonderful power source, and he is continuously transmitting himself into you. Amen. This may not be an appropriate example, but I kept thinking about Iron Man, you know? In that comic, he has an unlimited power source, right? He first tried, and all he did is trying to improve all that he, you know, his physical heart. But eventually he got that unlimited power source put in him. He can do everything he wants, right? Maybe that's not a good example. But, you know, we have the Spirit in our spirit.
Amen.
That's much better than Iron Man. We are God man.
Amen.
So if anything bring you down, don't forget that you have the Spirit in your spirit.
Amen.
You have been regenerated.
Amen.
The reason we feel down and out is because we got out of touch with the Spirit. Okay, so that is regeneration. Let's read Roman numeral 5. Let's come to the matter of sanctification. Sanctification is the process by which something is made holy. The real holiness and the real sanctification is to be completely mingled with God. Now, once God comes in, he begins a process called sanctification. Let me read this verse, 2 Thessalonians 2:13. Maybe I'll just read to you. But we ought to thank God always concerning you, brothers, beloved of the Lord, because God chose you from the beginning unto salvation in sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth.
Amen.
So God chose you, right? Unto salvation. God's salvation is full. Unto salvation through in sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. So God's salvation, God's full salvation, actually in this verse, is equivalent to the sanctification of the Spirit. Now, the word sanctification means to make holy, right? Something that's common become something that's set apart. Something that's not holy is now becoming holy. Now, holy doesn't, our concept right away about holy is a certain behavior, a certain demeanor that looks proper and good, right? But actually, in the Bible, only God is holy. So in order to make us holy, God had to continually add himself into us.
Amen.
And the Spirit is holy, right? So in order for us to be holy, to be sanctified, the Spirit has to increase in us. So sometimes we see this diagram that the Spirit doesn't just want to remain in our spirit, but he wants to come out to every part of our soul, right? So he's moving out. There's a process. Sanctification is not just something that happened once for all. It is a process. It's an ongoing process that's carried out, that's done by the Spirit, but it needs our cooperation. Amen. Okay, that's... Now, sanctification of the Spirit has two aspects. A sanctification of the Spirit before justification and the sanctification of the Spirit after justification. From the Bible, there are two aspects of justification, sanctification. Brothers, how about you read A?
Peter says that sanctification Christ.
Amen. Okay. Sisters, how about you read that verse? 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Actually, just verse 2. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Sisters.
Amen.
So this verse, if you look at it carefully, mentioned chosen according to the full knowledge of God. When did this happen? Way past, right? God chose us. One verse says, from the foundation of the earth. God chose us a long time ago. In the sanctification of the Spirit, unto the obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. When did the sprinkling and obedience, when did that occur?
Already being Christ into us as our Savior.
Right. Right? The Lord Jesus shed his blood on the cross for our sins. But we experience that when we confess that we are a sinner and we receive the Lord into our spirit. So when that happened, when the Spirit comes into us, right? So, but this verse, where should we put the sanctification of the Spirit? Now, according to what I kind of just shared and drew, first, the Spirit come into us, right? And then the Spirit spread out in our being. But this verse actually put the sanctification of the Spirit before the sprinkling, the obedience of the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus. Mm-hmm. So this is quite interesting. This means that even before someone received the Lord, the Spirit is there working in that person, sanctifying that person, setting this person apart. A good example is in Acts chapter 8, verse 29. Now, in Acts chapter 8, verse 29, there was an Ethiopian eunuch. There was a person, a Gentile, who knows nothing about the Jewish law. But he was interesting. He was seeking, because he came to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way back, the Spirit told Philip, who is one of the disciple of the Lord Jesus. The Spirit told Philip to go approach this Ethiopian's chariot, right. And so Philip doesn't know this person, so he just followed the Spirit. He went to the chariot, and he asked the eunuch, "What are you doing?" He says, "I'm reading." "What are you reading?" "I'm reading the book of Isaiah," right? And he asked a question, and he was reading Isaiah 63, which is talking about how the Lord Jesus will die for us. So, 53. So he asked Philip, Is this talking about the prophet, or is it talking about somebody else? So from there, Philip shared the gospel with the eunuch, and he got saved.
Amen.
He got baptized.
Amen.
On the way home. Wonderful. I don't know if you can imagine, you know, you one day, the Spirit just tell you, go to the cafeteria. And you go to the cafeteria, and there's somebody reading something, right? Maybe a track. And he asks you, what is this? The last Adam become the life-giving Spirit. What does this mean? I don't know if you can imagine this. To us, it's impossible. Not with my friends. But you have to realize that the Spirit is working in many people's life. It's not impossible. You know, maybe it will happen to some of you. If you follow the Spirit, the Spirit is sanctifying people. If you follow the Spirit, you know, often we go out to preach the gospel in teams, right? Gospel teams. Mm-hmm. I like to follow Brother Max. Because he's bold. But you have to realize that actually we are all following the Spirit.
Amen.
We're going out to preach the gospel.
That's right.
The Spirit is our gospel partner. He knows who to contact. So we just have to exercise many times just to follow the sense in our spirit to talk to certain ones. You never know how what the Lord, what the Spirit is working in that person. Mm-hmm. The Spirit may be just seeking, you know. Maybe on that day, maybe many days he's not that open, but that day something happened to him that the Spirit is working in him. But the Spirit needs a human vessel, right? So the Spirit is calling you to go talk to this person. You know, I'm never going to go to your cafeteria in school, right? You're there. The Lord needs to send you there. You need to be one who are cooperating with the Lord. Because the Spirit is sanctifying many unto salvation, unto the believing of the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus. So there's this aspect of the sanctification before justification, before someone actually received the Lord. But after a person received the Lord, let's read B together. Once a person is saved, he should also be separated. This is the reason a believer is called a saint. Many Christians, however, are saved but not separated. Okay, brothers, one.
In order for us to be holy, we first need to be separated unto God positionally. With respect to our family, neighbors, colleagues, and friends, we need to be separated.
Amen. Sisters, B. Two. Okay, I'd like you to circle a few words. In one, circle the word separated unto God positionally. So one aspect of the, let me tell you all the phrases I'd like you to circle first. So in one, circle separated unto God positionally. In two, circle saturated with God dispositionally. And the last part, to be saturated dispositionally takes a long time. Okay, so please circle these three phrases. So after we receive the Lord, the Lord started to sanctify us, first positionally, by separation. You know, I was reminded of the record of creation in Genesis 1. Actually, well, anyway, you know, first day God said, "Let there be light," right? The earth was void and waste. Cover underwater. God said that there be light, and there was light. And light and darkness separated, right? And then the second day, God said there must be a firmament, atmosphere, to separate the water above and the water below. So after we have received the Lord, the Spirit will work in you to do a work of separation. And this first is a positional matter. A positional matter doesn't mean physical separation. But in your interaction with your relatives who have not believed in the Lord, with your friends, with your peers, there begin to be some kind of separation, or there should be some kind of separation. Amen. If we're experiencing the Spirit's sanctification positionally. Doesn't mean that we purposely try to be different from other people. But because you have the Lord living in you, many times, you know, you're talking to your friends, but to a certain point, you feel uncomfortable, right? That's a little separation done by the Spirit. And it's best at that time, if you don't feel uncomfortable, either if you have the ground, just say, oh, I'm not, you know, I don't want to continue this conversation. Or sometime you may just have to leave, right? So the Lord, the Spirit's working within the believers is first to separate us,
yes,
positionally. But this kind of separation is for a kind of saturation dispositionally. Positionally means, positional I think is easy to understand, right? I was close to Aaron, right? But positional separation means, you know, I'm creating some distance between he and I. What does dispositional mean? Dispositional means something inside. That's the way you think. That's your preference. That's the things that you like. You know, we all have things that we like, and we the way we are made of, right? That's harder to separate. So I may physically separate from Aaron, right? But still, inside of me, I still like what he likes. I still like to talk the way he talks, right? So disposition is not something that can be. What disposition needs saturation,
amen.
And this takes a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So this process of the Lord working from our spirit into our soul. Now, what's in our soul? Our mind, right? That's the way we think, way we consider things. We may consider, you know, playing video game. Okay, playing video game is not bad, not terrible, right? But sometimes you consider, should I spend time to play video game or should I? It's meeting time, right? Your dad and your mom said, let's go to the meeting. Let's go to the young people's meeting. But, you know, I want to finish my game, right? So our thinking, we have priority. We have something that we'd like to do, something we may not like to do. So our thinking is part of our disposition. And then also, the things that we love, our emotion, and the things we decide to do. All this needs the Spirit's work of sanctification within us is to saturate us dispositionally.
Amen.
And this takes a long time.
Yes.
This takes a long time. This actually also is called the process of transformation, right? You're being changed, but not from the outside, but from within you. So you need to allow the Lord. Now, we all know that we can't change things overnight. Or there are a lot of things that I like. I can't just give them up, right? I know I can't give them up. But we need to open to the Lord and tell the Lord, Lord, this thing is still occupying my heart, occupying my time. Lord, do something about it. Lord, don't let that thing keep coming. Don't let whatever is hindering you, keeping you from coming to the Lord. You need to contact the Spirit.
Amen.
You need to contact the sanctifying Spirit.
Amen.
It is His work to sanctify you.
Amen.
It is not your work. But you do have a part to play. That is, you need to contact Him. You need to allow Him. And the way we allow Him is in point number seven. Okay, let's read seven together. This sanctification takes place by the Word, which is truth, and by the Spirit, which is the Spirit of truth. Amen. Sisters, A.
Throughout the day, this word of truth will work within us to separate us
brothers be.
It is the reality of the triune God living, moving, working, and separating us that makes us different from the worldly people. By the Spirit and the Word, the triune God is transfused into us.
Amen. Now, I was here this morning, and I heard during the review, a lot of the young people had this sentiment, oh, it's so great here in the summer school of the truth, but we know it's not going to last too long, right? I think one brother even said, you know, he joked with another, with some other brother, I'm going to just last until October, and maybe you will last until Thanksgiving. But I'm familiar with that sentiment, that, oh, here is so good, but what about next Monday? Right. What about August 15, right, when I'm back in my room, right? On the one hand, yes, all these nice environment may not be here on August 15, but you have to realize, why are we here? Or why are we having such a good time here? It's not only because of the environment that we have a nice camp, yeah, a nice view, or game. We organized some games today for the junior hires, which you will get to enjoy tomorrow. But you know, a lot of other camps organize much better activities, and maybe their foods are much better, right? We're not here just for that.
Right.
The main reason you are enjoying, or you're having such a good time, is because you are touching your spirit.
Amen.
You're allowing the Spirit to work in you.
Amen.
And you're under the hearing of the Word of God.
Amen.
And those things can go with you on August 15, back into your room. But you need to allow the Lord, right? Don't be passive and thinking you will drift into your spirit. You need to exercise your spirit. Let me read a little paragraph here. Suppose the young people touch the Word with the Spirit in the morning watch and then go to school. So one way to maintain or to remain in the enjoyment is to spend some time in the morning, right? And if you think it's too hard for you to do that alone, find a partner. Find an older partner to help you, to keep you in the Word. Suppose the young people touch the Word with the Spirit in the morning watch and then go to school. Throughout the day at school, this Word of truth will work within them to separate them and make them different from their classmates in their behavior, actions, work, thoughts, and feelings. Something is working within them to sanctify them, to make them holy. You have the Spirit in your spirit sanctifying you, but the Spirit also needs the Word, right? Often the Spirit wants to speak to you, wants to lead you, wants to guide you, but you don't have the Word. You don't have the vocabulary. So it's important that we get the Word. We're reading our Bibles. Pick up your Bible readings, you know, with a partner or by yourself. We need the Word. Without the Word, it's hard for the Spirit to speak to us. So give the Lord a chance by getting into the Word, okay? Lastly, I just want to mention a testimony that was very encouraging during the college training, and I just want to share with you. There was a sister, she backslided for a while. She hasn't come to the meeting. But then through some contact with another sister, she began to have the feeling that the Spirit is working in her, right? So she started not coming all the way back to the meeting, but she started some contact with the sister. And she realized that she needed the Word. She needed to get into the Word. So she kind of decided that she wants to read the life study of Genesis. But she doesn't have a lot of time. This is an older sister, I believe a young adult working sister. So she doesn't have a lot of time. So when she look at her schedule, the only time she has was on, I think, 3 nights a week. But the problem is, on those 3 nights, her favorite TV show was on. So she either had to give up watching the TV show and get into the Word, or get into the Word and give up the TV show, right? So she was kind of in a dilemma. And she was very honest with the Lord. She told the Lord, "Lord, this is my favorite TV show. I can't give it up." But then the Lord touched her, or she thought of the Lord touched her. He says, so eventually, this is what she did. She still watched the TV show, but during the commercial, she would read the life study. And I believe up till now, I don't know if she finished, but she's still reading the life studies. But gradually, I believe gradually, you know, eventually her taste was changed.
Yeah, right.
So she watched the TV show less and less, and she read the life study more and more,
mm-hmm.
right? So the point is not just to give up what you like. We know you like a lot of things, but just be honest to the Lord. Tell the Lord, "Lord, I still like this, but Lord, I'd like to give you a chance.
Yeah.
I want to be in the Word. I want you to sanctify me. I want you to spread in me so that I can be your expression. I can live in the Spirit.
Amen.
I can have this same kind of enjoyment, not only here, but throughout my daily life."
Amen.
So be encouraged.
Amen.
Don't give up, right?
Amen.
Just give the Lord a chance to work, and then He will work in you. He regenerated you, and He will sanctify you.
Amen.
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 Right. Amen. So how about let's pray by twos and threes, and then we can have some sharings.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.